Well, we are certainly blessed to have a Savior who saves to the uttermost, who is all sufficient to bring us into heaven, and that's what we're praising God for and rejoicing in this morning. So as we turn to the Word of God, let me invite you to open your Bibles with me now to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, and we'll be looking at verses 4 through 6 together this morning. As you know, our Lord has just celebrated the Last Supper with His disciples. They're up in the upper room. He has handed the morsel of bread to Judas, and he has left. So now it's Christ alone with the 11 disciples, and He takes these last few hours that He has with them to pour His heart into them and to press upon them truths that they will need to see them through this period of incredible darkness and gloom that they're about to enter. So what the Lord is communicating to them is that He is about to leave them. And where He's going, they cannot come. And so they are very troubled in heart. They've been told that one among them is going to betray them. They've heard that Christ has told Peter in front of all of them that He will deny Him three times. They're confused about the mission of Christ. They don't understand about what He means, that you're leaving us. And so the Lord begins to teach them and to give them truths that are going to help them through the next several days. And so we come to verse 4 through 6. And let me back up before I read that. Let me begin to read back up in chapter 13. In verse 33, Jesus says, "Little children, I am with you a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come." In verse 36, Simon Peter said to Him, "Lord, where are you going?" Jesus said, "Where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later." And then drop down now to chapter 14, verse 4, Jesus speaks to them and He says, "And you know the way where I am going." Thomas said to Him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." Now, we live in an age in which many people take offense at Christianity. And probably the main offense that people have towards the Christian faith is that Christianity claims to be exclusive. That is, there's only one way to God, and that's through Jesus Christ. There's only one way to heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ. And the reason why the world hates that message is because the spirit of our age is very inclusive, believing that there are many ways to God, there are many ways into heaven. They like to say, as the ancients used to say, that all roads lead to Rome. And people today like to say, or at least think, that all religions, all roads, if you will, lead to heaven. They lead to God. This is the belief of inclusivism. This is that you include all religions, are all equally valid. Or another name of this is called religious pluralism. There are many ways to get to God. That is not what Jesus taught. But that reflects what the natural mind of man wants to believe. So the world, therefore, hears our message, and they think of Christians as being very narrow-minded, very bigoted, very much full of hate speech, because we're saying and claim that Christ is the only way, and they think we're full of pride and arrogant for giving that message. They boldly deny, the world does, that there is only one way, and they boldly affirm that there are many ways to God, like that great theologian and spiritual giant Oprah Winfrey agrees with this mindset. When she denies that there is only one way, she said in one of her TV broadcasts, quote, "There couldn't possibly be one way. There are many ways to get to the light," which is her word for God. So she's committed to spreading her own New Age Eastern religion that basically says there are many, many ways to God. And that really reflects the prevailing attitude of our age. And you've probably sensed that if you've shared your faith much with unbelievers. Well, in this passage, Christ is dealing with this particular truth. And his purpose is to reinforce in the minds of his followers that there is only one way to the Father. There is only one way to God, and that is through him. So that Christ's claims are exclusive. They are not inclusive. Jesus did not teach a religious pluralism that there are many, many ways to God like so many religions want to embrace today. Now again, Christ has told them that he's leaving them. And he's saying in verse 4, "And you know the way where I am going." Of course, he's referring to him going back to the Father. He's going to go to the cross, and then he'll die, be raised from the dead, and then he will ascend to the Father. He's going back to the Father. And he tells his disciples that where I am going, verse 4, you know the way. Well, again, it just indicates that though the Lord taught them many times that the way to eternal life is to believe in him, and he taught them that he must go and be betrayed and die and be raised on the third day, and that he was going back to the Father, and he told his disciples and taught them that many times, they still didn't quite connect the dots. They didn't quite understand all that Jesus was telling them. They were confused. They really didn't comprehend what Jesus was meaning when he said about going away and the dwelling places. I think they thought, where is he going? Is he going out to some of the far regions of Israel? Or is he going to go out and live among the Gentiles? Or is he going to go out into the wilderness? Lord, we don't know where you're going. We don't know the way. And even though they had trusted in Christ, there was much that they just did not comprehend at this point until the Holy Spirit later will give them understanding. And so Thomas, in verse 5, says, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way?" Now Thomas, doubting Thomas here, is a loyal, courageous disciple, but he oftentimes expresses his lack of understanding and his doubts. He is very emphatic that he does not know the way, as he expresses it here in verse 5. "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way?" He expresses his confusion, his perplexity. He wants to understand, but he doesn't quite understand fully what the Lord is talking about. Now, in reality, I think Thomas knows better than he thinks he does. I think the old commentator Trapp may be right when he said that Thomas is like one who hunts for his keys when all along he has them in his pocket. And I think that may be kind of like Thomas who really understands, but he doesn't think he understands. At that point, he's confused. And due to the stress of what Christ has been telling them and the troubled heart, clear thinking has escaped him. And so he's caught up in this confusion and uncertainty about the way that Jesus is taking and the way to the Father, if he even understood that. And I think what we find in Thomas is really typical of what we see much today, only in a much worse way. Again, Thomas certainly believed in Jesus, but many people, in their unbelief, express the same kind of skepticism and the same kind of confusion that Thomas is saying here. We don't know where you're going. We don't know the way. And so there is a great level of skepticism, even within our own age, of people who don't believe in heaven or if heaven exists. They're not sure of how you get there, even if it does. Our world today is full of scoffers and doubters who question this. We live in the age of postmodernism. And postmodern religions will say that there is no absolute truth. That if heaven exists, again, there are many ways to get to heaven. There's no absolute truth. Everybody has their own truth. And truth is relative. There are no absolute truths. It's all relative, so that you can have your truth and this person can have their truth and another person can have their truth, and all truths are equally valid. None of them are better than any other truth. Everybody can have their own truth. That's postmodernism. It's a kind of skepticism that we see within our own age. And so therefore it's wrong for you to stand up and claim that you have the only way. And for you to judge others who differ with you, that's arrogant and wrong and bigoted and narrow-minded, because everybody's truth is equally valid. Again, this is religious relativism. It leads to religious pluralism. It's postmodernism, basically, in a nutshell. Obviously, this totally undermines the authority and the inspiration of the Word of God. It basically puts the mind of man in the place of God. Because now everybody's own little mind can determine their own truth. So you can determine your truth, and apparently that's true for you. And somebody else, by their thinking, they can determine a different truth, and that's true for them. And they think that that truth is actually a truth. But they're very much misguided, because basically they put their own mind in the place of God. Reason is king and the sole determiner of truth. So that's why we find that a lot of people say, we don't know the way. Or they would say, everybody's way is equally valid. And then you have those who are confused today, like the major religions of the world, which are very misguided, because all the religions of the world except for Christianity say that the way someone gets to heaven is ultimately by something that they do. This is the confusion. We don't know the way, you know, or we think we know the way, but you've got to do this and this and this, and then hope that you do it well enough that you're going to go to heaven. There's a lot of confusion out there as well. They confuse the gospel of grace with the gospel of works or self-effort, or a gospel that mingles faith plus works, or faith plus self-effort. And these are nothing more than the fig leaves that Adam wove to cover his own nakedness but cannot atone for his sin. Others want to worship God in nature. They're confused as well. No need to go to church. No need to read the Bible. No need to worship the God of the Bible. We can worship God in nature. And so they go out and they make the golf course their cathedral, or maybe it's a park, or maybe it's a hiking trail. And this basically is neo-paganism. It's another different view of confused religion. In other words, they worship the creation rather than the Creator. Many people are in that trap today. In America, paganism and neo-paganism is greatly on the move. Many young people buy into this neo-paganism. Well, we're just worshiping God in nature. You know, God is all is just out there. And when we go out in the woods, we're communing with God. Their worship, though, is so tied to this creation, it remains earthbound. It never rises above or out of this creation, because creation is their God. And they say they worship the God of nature, but really they're just worshiping the God of fallen nature, which is the devil, according to Spurgeon. Others are also confused in the way to go to heaven and the way to the Father by saying, well, all you have to do is just be spiritual. You can believe in God, And believe that God dwells in you. And as long as you get in touch with your inner God, if you get in touch with your inner light, well, then you're spiritual and you'll go to heaven when you die. That's really the New Age philosophy. Like Shirley MacLaine, who's standing on the beach and raises her arms and says, "I am God." That's that idea. It's just internalizing God. We are God, basically, one way or another. But see, their God basically is a figment of their imagination. Because what they're doing, again, is taking their mind and they're projecting the kind of God that they want to follow. So their God is merely a projection of their own subjective feelings or experiences as to what they think God should be like. So they basically create their God after their own image. Where the Bible says God creates man after his image, they create God after their image. And this is very, very popular today. Everybody wants to believe in God as they think God should be. So they hold to no absolute truth. No one can have absolute convictions about God. Your God can differ from my God, and that's okay. You can worship your God, and you'll get to heaven. I'll worship my God, they're just creating a God out of their own imagination, out of their own feelings, out of their own experiences. And that God does not exist. It's not God at all, but they believe it is. But they've just invented it. They've projected themselves, and then they bow down and worship themselves ultimately. Because their God is nothing but the figment of their own mind. Well, sadly, the result of all this skepticism and confusion that is expressed in a much deeper and worse way than Thomas expresses his own doubts and uncertainty, the result of all of that is that the church has been impacted by all of this. All of this skepticism, all these doubts, all this confusion, so that Robertson McQuilkin, in his book, Understanding and Applying the Bible, says that based on a survey taken in the year 2007, so it's a bit dated, that only 57% of evangelicals believe that Jesus Christ is, or 57% of evangelicals believe that Jesus Christ is not the only way to heaven. Almost 60% of people who call themselves evangelicals do not believe that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. In other words, they have been impacted and influenced by the skepticism and the confusion among religions that are out there. So that 60% of so-called evangelicals buy into pluralism and inclusivism, and ultimately say there are many ways to get to heaven. And this is the direct result of postmodernism impacting the church today. And the church is full of it, if 60% have bought into it. Well, so what's the truth? Well, let's look and see what Jesus says. In answering Thomas's doubts about, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way? Jesus says, well, I'm going to make this very, very clear to you. It's very, very clear. Pay attention. I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And no one goes to the Father but through me. It's very, very clear. Well, Jesus begins by saying, I am the way. Notice he doesn't say, I am a way. There are many ways to God, many ways to the Father. I am one of many ways. He does not say that. He says, I am the way. Not a way, implying that there are other ways. I am the way, the one and the only way, as will be clear here in a moment. He is the only way to God. He's the only way to heaven. He's the only way that someone could actually enter into the presence of God. He's the only way from the city of destruction to the celestial city. He's not just a guide and a teacher. He himself is the way. He is the door. He's Jacob's ladder through whom we must draw near to God. And apart from Christ, there is no other way, period. And the reason why there is no other way is because we have sinned, we have all sinned, and man cannot fix his own sin problem. Our money cannot buy our pardon. Our good works cannot cancel out our sins. Our religious devotion cannot undo our sinful heart. We are helpless by nature. We are hopeless by nature. And we are hellbound by nature. Christ is the only way. Man is lost and he cannot find his way. He is not the way. Though he thinks he is the way, he thinks he can figure out the way, Christ is the only way. William Barclay, in his commentary, gave a helpful illustration. He says, suppose you're in a strange town and ask for directions, and suppose the person says, take the first right and then the second left and cross the square, go past the church, take the third on the right, and the road you want is the fourth on the left. And probably for most of us, we'll be lost before we get halfway. But suppose that person said all that and then he said, just follow me. I'll get you there. Jesus Christ is the way. He didn't just tell us the way. He is the only way to the Father. Now, I like that illustration, but our lost estate is actually far worse than being lost in a city. We're lost in impenetrable darkness, surrounded by vertical cliffs, surrounded by bogs full of quicksand, of dense and dangerous forests full of deadly animals and venomous serpents, and mountains impossible to climb. And if you take a single step in any direction, you're doomed to die. You're in the dark. You're not even aware of all these dangers surrounding all of you, and you're there stuck, and you're lost, and you don't know the way. There's no way out. Every possible imaginable way leads to death. And you're in the dark. You can't see anything. You need a way out. That's really where we are spiritually speaking. And Jesus Christ is the only one that can take us out. Why is that? Well, because it's by His atoning blood that He fully satisfies all the Father requires to forgive us of our sins. What other religion, what other way can do that? We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Before we can go to the Father, before we can go to heaven, we must have our sins forgiven. What other religion can offer you the sure way of forgiveness? Well, just do better. Do good. Do more righteousness. Well, what about the sin I've already committed? I've got to be forgiven of that. And James says, if you've broken the law in one point, you've broken the whole thing. You're totally disqualified. No, see, it's the blood of Christ. It's the sacrificing of Christ's own body and soul on the cross. It's His atoning death by which He fully satisfies the just penalty of the Father that should be poured out upon our sin. Christ died in our place. He bore our sin. He bore the wrath of God so our sins could be forgiven. No other religion offers that. And by His blood, not only are our sins forgiven us, for those who turn from our sin, embrace Jesus Christ alone for our salvation, but He forgives us all of our sins so that the Scriptures say our sins are removed from us as far as the east is from the west. That God the Father takes our sins and puts them behind His back and He casts them into the very depths of the sea and He forgives us of them all. So that Christ is the only way. He is the way. And in fact, that truth that Jesus is the way, what He says right here in verse 6, is so powerful. It made such an impression upon the early church that that's the name they took to describe the early Christians. They were followers of the way. And in the book of Acts, you find it about a half a dozen times where the church is described as the way, because Jesus Christ is the only way. You see, all other religions lead the wrong way to a dead end. Only Jesus Christ can deliver us from our lost condition and forgive us of our sins. He is the one and only way. And secondly, in verse 6, Jesus says that I am the truth, not a truth. Like everyone can have their own truth. You're only going to deceive yourself because you're just imagining what you think is true and projecting that. But it's basically you're deifying yourself. You're really making yourself God who's able to determine truth. But that's not what Jesus said. He says He is the truth, not a truth. So postmodernism, where everyone has their own truth, really becomes quite folly. These next two characteristics where Christ says, I am the truth and the life, probably are understood in the sense that they're just explaining why He is the way. He is the way because He is the truth and the life. And therefore, He's the only way to the Father. Christ says, I am the truth because He is the Word made flesh, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Jesus is a truth because He embodies the supreme revelation of God's truth. He narrates God. He explains God. He exegetes God to the world. He communicates exactly what the Father is like. He's the truth. Jesus Himself said, I speak these things as the Father taught me. The word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So that what Jesus teaches, He teaches directly the truth that the Father gave Him to teach. He is the truth. There is no other. He is the truth, which is essential to understand and believe if we want to go to the Father. And because He's the truth, life can be full of meaning and purpose for those who draw near to Christ. Because He's the truth. See, we don't realize how much we deceive ourselves all the time. You know, even the Old Testament, Jeremiah said, the heart of man is more deceitful than all else and desperately sick. Who can understand it? And yet Christ is the truth. And when you build your life on Christ, there is purpose, there is meaning, there is joy, there is grace that the rest cannot give, because it's not the truth. Christ is the truth. All other religions are full of lies and falsehoods of the father of lies, the devil. All other religions lead to deception and error. Christ alone is the truth. And then He says, I am the life. Christ is the life. He said He was the resurrection and the life. Christ has life in Himself. As God in human nature, Christ possesses the essence of life. He is God. He has life, and He can also give life. He can give physical life as He did to Lazarus. He can give spiritual life through regeneration as He sends His Spirit, who does the work of resurrecting the spiritual dead into spiritual life. And He also can give eternal life and glorified life. Jesus is the life. He's the only source of true life. He protects and sustains life. It's like when Christ appeared with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fire. The fire would have consumed them. Christ sustained their life. He's the life. He has the power to give and impart physical, spiritual, eternal, and glorified life. All other religions offer a way that seems right to a man, but their end is the way of death. Christ is the life. And then He concludes, just in case you don't get it, He says at the end of verse 6, no one comes to the Father but through me. You see how exclusive Jesus is. No one comes to the Father but through me. There's no other way. Not by Moses, not by Mary, not by Muhammad, or not by any other religious leader whose name begins with any other letter of the alphabet. He is exclusive. He claims to be the only way to God, the only way to heaven. And of course, the rest of Scripture totally agrees with this. Paul in 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, for no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. There's only one foundation to build on if you want to go to heaven. That's Jesus Christ. Peter understood it. Acts 4:12. He said, and there is salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. There's only one name that will save you, Peter says. It's Jesus Christ. Paul said again in 1 Timothy 2:5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. There's no other mediator. There's no other person, no other angel, no other saint. There's only one mediator between God and man, and that's Jesus Christ. He's the only way to get you there. No one else can do it. There's only one mediator. And the no one, when he says, and no one comes to the Father but through me, that no one is a universal exclusion. No one will ever go to heaven. No one will ever go to God the Father in heaven if they do not go through the atoning work and resurrection of Jesus Christ. If any man tries to go to the Father through any other religion, through any other person, through any other philosophy, through any type of religious activity, he will fail and be lost. If one tries to come to God on his own merits, on his own good works, based on his own righteousness, he will fail and be lost. No one can come to the Father and save his soul if they do not come through Jesus Christ. Again, why? Because first, we have this sin issue. Only Christ can take away our sin based upon his death on the cross. But we need something more to go to heaven. We actually need a righteousness that God approves of to go to heaven. Heaven is a holy place. God is holy. Christ is holy. We must have an equal holiness and equal righteousness to enter into the presence of a holy God. And this is the good news, because when Jesus died on the cross, not only did he take our sins and suffer in our place and bear the wrath of God so our sins could be forgiven, but whenever we turn from our sin and believe and receive Jesus Christ alone as our Lord and Savior, not only does he forgive us all of our sins, past, present, and future, but Christ gives us his own sinless righteousness as a gift. He imputes that into our legal spiritual account. So that now when God looks at you, he sees that perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the whole doctrine of justification. And that's the righteousness that makes you qualified for heaven. Not your righteousness. Your righteousness stinks. It falls short. It's imperfect. It's full of problems and weaknesses and sin, contaminated with sins. It'll never suffice. Abandon that sinking ship. The righteousness that you need to get to heaven is an alien righteousness. It's not one of our own knitting. It's not one of our own production. It must be given to us as a gift. We must be justified, and we're justified by faith alone in Christ alone. But it's that free gift of righteousness that guarantees and qualifies us to enter into the presence of a righteous God. No other way will get you there. Christ is the only way. He's the only door between heaven and earth, the crucified and risen Son of God. There is no other way. And that's why we love to sing in that great hymn, on Christ a solid rock I stand, all other ground is what? Sinking sand. All other ground. Every other religion, every other philosophy, all other ground is sinking sand. There's only one rock. There's only one way, one truth, one life, and that's through Jesus Christ. You say, well, what about those who follow other religions, but they're very, very sincere? They're very sincere in holding to their belief. It's not Christianity, but they're very, very sincere. Sincerity in holding to a false way does not make it the true way. You can be very, very sincere about your religion, but if it's not Jesus Christ, just because you're sincere doesn't somehow sanitize it or sanctify it and make it the right way. It's still the wrong way. Sincerity does not change that. To say that Jesus is the only way does not sit well with our postmodern mindset, which denies absolute truth and wants to allow that everybody can have their own truth. And there are many ways to God the Father. But as C.S. Lewis once pointed out, many are willing to accept Jesus as a great moral teacher, but not his unique claims to be God and the only way to the Father. He says, see, a lot of these other religions, they'll say, oh yeah, we think highly of Jesus Christ. He's a prophet. Yes, he was a good man. But we still, you know, we're going to get to heaven by all this other stuff. But yeah, we think highly of Jesus Christ. C.S. Lewis says Christ doesn't allow you that option. This is what C.S. Lewis wrote. He said, a man who is merely a man and said the sort of things that Jesus said would not be a great moral teacher. He would either be a lunatic on a level with a man who says he's a poached egg, or else he would be the devil of hell. You must make your choice. Either this man was and is the Son of God, or else a madman or something worse. You can shut him up for a fool, you can spit at him and kill him as a demon, or you can fall at his feet and call him Lord and God. But let us not come up with any patronizing nonsense about his being a great human teacher. He has not left that open to us. He did not intend to. And you see, that makes sense. Because what Christ is saying is that I am the only way to the Father. Now, if he's wrong, then he's either a lunatic, and you certainly don't want to follow a lunatic, or he's a liar, and you certainly wouldn't want to follow a liar. But if he's right, then he's Lord, and you better bow your knee to him. Because he's the only Lord, and the only sovereign, and the only Savior. So as Josh McDowell put it, here are your options. Jesus was either a liar, or a lunatic, or a Lord. Or the Lord. You cannot hold to another religion and think he's a good moral teacher. He's a liar or a lunatic, or he's who he claims he is, and he's Lord God Almighty, the only Savior for sinners. You understand that? So that if you run into another religion that somehow thinks highly of Jesus Christ, whatever Jesus they're thinking of, it's not the Jesus of the Bible. This Jesus said he was the only way. Well, again, some believe that all religions of the world are basically the same, but that simply is not true. Many religions believe their God is an impersonal God. Many religions, and all the religions other than Christianity, say that your going to heaven is based on your efforts to reach God. They teach that man somehow must do certain things in order to be good enough to go to heaven. Christianity alone says, you know what? You can never earn heaven. You can never be good enough to go to heaven. So abandon that path. You're a sinner. We're all sinners. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. Abandon trying to get to heaven by your goodness, by your righteousness, by your own religious activities, going to church 1,000 times or whatever it is. That can never get you to heaven. Only Jesus Christ. The only solution for our sin problem is that God sent His sinless Son to die in our place and pay the penalty for our sins, that those who believe in Him might be saved. Christianity alone says that salvation is not based on what you do. It is totally based on what Jesus Christ has done for you. And that makes Christianity totally unique. And that makes it totally exclusive. Paul said that one day every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue shall acknowledge and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. When Christ comes back, every other leader of every other false religion will one day bow their knee before Christ and admit that they were wrong, that Jesus Christ was the only way to the Father. They will do that. So when Jesus said he's the only way, he's telling the truth. There's no other way to have your sins forgiven. There's no other way to go to heaven but through him. Yes, that's exclusive. And it's not arrogant. It's not a prudish narrow-mindedness. It's not bigoted religion to say to a sinner that Jesus Christ is the only way. It's simply to take Jesus at his word. It's simply to believe that what Jesus said about himself was true. And they may think that you're bigoted, and they may roll their eyes and say, oh, you got to be kidding. That's an archaic view. Just say, I simply believe what Jesus said. Jesus is the one who said he's the only way. And so when it comes right down to it, I think the church today in the 21st century, we need to understand this. We need to know what we believe and why we believe it. We need to be prepared for the hostility of the postmodernism in the world in which we live. We need to be prepared for persecution because pluralists do not like your gospel. Pluralists do not like you for believing that Jesus Christ is the only way. They want us to be tolerant of them, but they don't want to be tolerant of us. And so we need to be ready for others to think badly about you for your faith. Don't be intimidated by them. Don't be ashamed of the gospel either. Be ready for others to call you out and to call you narrow-minded, a bigot. But remember what Jesus said. If the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. The world wants to be able to create its own religion that fits with their own lusts and their own values and their own thinking so they can feel good about it. And Christ says all those ways are the lost ways. That's the wrong way. I alone am the way to the Father. And when we preach that message, you will get opposition. There's an offense of the cross that there's no way to escape it. And we need to be willing to face that offense and to preach what Jesus said about himself. He is the only way. You must repent and believe in him if you want to go to heaven. And do not be intimidated by their scoffing or by their unbelief or by their attacks against you. Because one day they will stand before Christ and give an account. But we must be bold in our witness. And if Christ is the only way, then others need to know that. Do not lose your boldness in affirming this truth amid those who are offended. People need to hear this gospel. If it's the only way to heaven, if it's the only way to the Father, then we need to be sharing this gospel with others around us and pray that God would give us those blessed opportunities to share this wonderful message with those who are still lost and dead in their sin. Jesus said, enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it. How narrow is that gate? It's as narrow as Jesus Christ, because he is the gate, he is the door, he is the way, he's the only way to God the Father. He's the only bridge across the infinite chasm between the sinner and the holy God. Well, you may be here this morning and you may have heard this and you may be thinking, well, I hear what you say, that Jesus Christ is the only way. There's salvation and no other name given under heaven by which we must be saved. But I'm just too great a sinner. I can't be saved. I'm too great a sinner. But you need to remember that Jesus Christ is a great Savior. Amen. You may say, I'm so stained with sin. But you see, His blood can make you white as snow. You say, but I'm too old. But He can make you born again. But I've rejected him so often, but he will not reject you. But I'm the last person in the world to be saved because I have sinned against him and turned away from him time and time again. But Christ says, the last shall be first. Just come to Christ. Come to Christ and believe in him and receive him as your Lord and Savior. Because no other God can get you to heaven. No other religion. There is only one way, and all others are false ways. Come to Christ, because He's the sure way to heaven. Come to Christ, and you'll be saved. May God help you to come. Let's close in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You, Lord, that though in the midst of doubts and confusion and skepticism, when we live in a world where everybody wants to determine their own way of salvation, everyone wants to determine their own God, and yet how easily we deceive ourselves, and yet how thankful we are that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life. And because of that, we know, we can know for sure that any sinner, no matter how many years they have rebelled, no matter how many times they have turned away, any sinner that comes to Jesus Christ and confesses their sin and believes upon Him and trusts Him and Him alone based upon His atoning death and resurrection, that sinner who believes in Jesus Christ will be forgiven all of their sins and be granted the gift of perfect righteousness by which they will have a guaranteed access and entrance into heaven, so that there is only one way, and it's through Jesus Christ. There is no other way. And so now, Father, with this truth, empower Your church to boldly preach this gospel. Empower us that we might stand up and that we might with full confidence declare to a dying world that there is a way of escape, that there is a way out of the way of death that they are in. There is a way to heaven. There is a way to the Father. There is a way to everlasting life, and it's through Jesus Christ and Christ alone. And then, Lord, save. Bless this gospel. Open the hearts of the dead. Grant them life. Grant them faith that they might see their sin and run to Christ, who alone can save them. And just give us that grace to be faithful witnesses by the power of the Holy Spirit to this life-giving, life-changing gospel and good news of Jesus Christ. Help us to do that, Father, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.